Hi guys, welcome to Two Red Lights. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Ailey.
And we're here to bring you some F1 chat following this week's Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. So Ailey, would you like to start us off?
Yep, okay, right. Let me just get the notes on my phone. Oh, round up since Ailey's wrote a Bible. Okay, Gabby.
Guys, Ailey documented the whole race on there. Like, I had to summarise it.
Okay, so we'll start with the talking points. So the main one this weekend was Carlos Sainz getting appendicitis and Ollie Bearman coming in his place. So I think Ollie done a great job this weekend.
He did. Like, he did amazing.
For someone that's starting his F1, obviously he drove the Haas and that.
Yeah.
But it's just for someone to come straight in for his first race in a Ferrari as well, it's really, really big.
It was. It was really special for Ferrari as well. That's the first time they've had two Ferrari Driver Academy drivers race for the team. And John Elkin was at the race as well, and he said it's the most united Ferrari felt, and he walked in there like a boss. By the way, I will insert the video later on here, not the video, the photo. He's got his suit and his sunglasses on, and then like Lewis is low-key like kind of like starting to merge in with the team. Like you saw him with Charles and Ollie during the driver's parade. Bearman. Carlos, it's a really big shame. I don't know what has with F1 drivers and appendicitis, but
I'm just scared for the plot with this one. Like, you've seen the plot with Alex getting appendicitis and the whole big list that follows after that. So that's just a theory, really. I don't think it will. As soon as an F1 driver gets appendicitis, then it just decides to
die. We obviously saw Carlos back at the track as well a day after his surgery, which was reportedly against doctor's orders, which
he was limping walking in, nailer and what he still had, like the blood.
I think it was
like,
a bit,
I forget his blood taken.
I definitely think that was a silly decision because the poor guy could barely walk. I don't like, he's put himself through a big bit of risk there for no reason because I felt so bad for him in the videos. He was like limping about and I was like, oh, like, what's he doing? But
I definitely do think for Bearman, this like a big step to see what he can do. Future, it's going to show more teams what he's capable of, especially in a Ferrari. But I do think that also with Lewis signing the multi-year contract, we don't know how do we know how long it is until I'm going to just assume it's when Charles is contracted.
I'd say until 2027 Lewis will be,
because I definitely think that Ollie will have a seat before that. I definitely think he'll have a seat before that.
Yeah,
maybe he'll go to Haas or something and then proceed into Ferrari from there. But I just think that it sets a really good stepping stone for him to see where other opportunities lie and within moving up to F1.
The whole, what I was thinking there is what leads into the, when we were talking about John Elkin being at the race as well, that kind of ties into to the recent Red Bull news that Helmut Marko could have been leaving the team, which it's all been said now, oh, he's staying, but it was a big drama and Max was saying he would go with him. And Adrian Newey. So then John Elkin was seen leaving the Red Bull hospitality and everybody was like, Ferrari's getting Newey and like, this is our moment.
Because I seen a thing, he was asked not to speak to any media following what's been going on with Christian Horner and what's been going on with the whole Red Bull team, but he was speaking to media straight after.
I know.
You've got here, Seb messaged Ollie before race. I did not know that.
He's like a grandad now because Charles has went from like Seb's little Gurkha to literally being the grid dad of Ollie. Like, he's like a grid dad and Seb's like the grandad now. It's like, so
I think that's so cute. Like, for somebody's big, like the role that Seb had at Ferrari, absolutely huge.
What was for the tweet I seen, it was like he's a silent ninja because like nobody has Seb's number but he's got everybody's number.
Imagine Ola just having this random number message. He's like, who is this?
He's like, hello, I'm Sebastian Vettel.
Right, okay, so we'll start with quali. So obviously, well, but let's start with FP3 actually, because I feel like FP1, FP2, nothing major happened, but obviously Ollie came into FP3 and there was a crash with Joe as well.
That was a mechanical
fault.
Well, I read that I only watched the start of FP3 because I was getting my hair done, but I'm pretty sure I read that it was due to a mechanical.
Yeah, because it looked pretty big, because I remember, like, I was in class and I was like, I'll just turn on FP3 and then all I seen was this steak, alpha male, whatever you want to call it, in a wall. I was like, oh my, I was like, it's already off to a bad start. I was like, it's just, it was a lot to take in for FP3. But with qualifying, obviously, Ollie Behrman qualified P11. Absolutely amazing. What else did we get? We got Oscar out-qualified Lando.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like it's not as big now. See, because we can see what Oscar can really do. Yeah. How he is up against Lando. Like, see, last season, that would have been absolutely huge. But I feel like now, it's not as, like, big news type thing. Joe just missed the flag.
Oh no, that was a shame. The mechanics worked really hard to get him back out.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of problems with Stake this weekend, like even with Valtteri's pit stop as well. Like,
yeah,
that was just a mess, to be honest. We got Charles and Max front row once again.
Yep.
Second time doing it.
It's actually 7 front row starts in a row for Leclerc, yeah, which is very impressive. I remember seeing of how many it's been in a row that Charles and Max have shared.
Was it not been 7 then? Is Max not started from pole?
No, there was one that he wasn't on the front row. Singapore.
Singapore, because that was.
So I think it will be 6 that them two have shared the front row together.
Yeah. Because obviously with Carlos winning Singapore last year. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Mercedes, P7, P8, and obviously McLaren's P5, P6. So both teammates side by side.
Yeah.
And Alonso, not too bad, but he got a toe. So.
Yeah, basically the Aston Martin seemed to have really good quality pace. But then Alonso's last lap, he got the toe in it, and then I think it was the 3rd sector. It just kind of went wrong, but the Aston Martin's got the qualifying pace, it seems, so we'll need to look out for them on the other races, because that's why I've wrote that down, because it seems like they've got that pace in there. But then I don't think they've got it in the race. I think it's given, like, Ferrari, but Ferrari have got a bit more in the race this year.
Yeah.
But it's given, like, Ferrari last year, like, they still kind of had it in qualifying, but then the race.
Yeah, and then, obviously, like, compared to last year, I feel like the Ferrari's improved.
Ferrari's in, like, a little league of their own, sort of. It's, like, Red Bull a league miles away.
Yeah.
And Ferrari's, like, the best of the rest.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, the other, like, McLaren and Mercedes that are kind of.
Yeah, I feel like McLaren, Mercedes and Aston are all in, like.
Yeah, the same kind of bracket.
Battle for third type thing, but I definitely do think that the Red Bull's obviously proven to be the fastest car, but I do feel like Ferrari's improved 100% from last season.
Yeah, they'd a really bad car left to deal with, to be honest. So it's the progress they've made in a year, you can't ask for much more.
Yeah,
so hopefully they just keep going with the progress for the next few years.
Yeah, because I feel like, because this is Carlos's last year with Ferrari, obviously, the whole big drama before the season even started with Lewis coming in.
Yeah.
I remember just thinking, I was like, that's not, I was like, everyone's, I was like, nobody, I was like, who's believing this, who's believing this?
I know, I kept saying to Lily, he's coming to Ferrari, and she was like, no.
I did not believe him. Like, stop being so delusional, he's not, and I was saying to my driving instructor as well, he's like, no, he's like, Sky Sports confirmed. I was like, and where are they getting their source from? I was like, where are they getting their source? I was like, it's not true. I walked in after my driving lesson and all I seen was Lewis Hamilton signed to Ferrari. I was like, oh my days. But I don't think Carlos Sainz will be left without a seat. Like, maybe, I think he will go to Audi in 2026 when, obviously, when they come. If he doesn't get a seat for 2025, I think he'll go to, like, Indy or something. I know that's completely different, but I don't think he's going to leave motorsport if he doesn't have a seat this season.
No.
Right, okay, so round up is a Bible. Yep. So Pierre, it was the formation lap. He said that there's a form of his good and I just said, I was like,
I know.
The Alpine, I thought they were going to come back stronger this year. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know what's happened.
I had that little bit of hope that I was like, yeah, you know, Alpine will come in strong. I was like, they're bouncing back from last season. Not that they were terrible last season, but I still was like, nah, I was like, they're going to come back. No.
No.
What was it? I think one of my friends says to me, she was like, the only person in Alpine that's getting a podium this year is Abby Pulling.
Yeah.
In F1 Academy.
Real?
Literally the
only to be honest.
No successful Alpine driver this year is Abby. That's it.
I know.
I remember someone sent me that last night. And I just remember thinking, I cannot think of anything more true. I'd love to see Pierre Esteban on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's happening anytime soon. Unless, because you know how much McLaren changed from the first half of the season to the second half?
Yeah.
Some sort of miracle happens over the summer break. Unless something happens magical, I don't think it's going to come back.
No.
But I remember, when I seen this, I was just like, no. I was like, because I'm a McLaren fan. I was like, no. I was like, he didn't jump the start. And then George was like, jump start by Norris or something like that. I was like, please tell me you're joking. Please tell me you're joking. And I was like, I really can't do it. But it was took, and looking at it, I did think it was a jump start, but obviously it was ruled not a jump start.
Well, I saw a really funny meme of George that I'm going to insert in as well when seen it, but I think it was, but the FIA said that it didn't come up on their monitors. But when you look at it, it's 100% a jump start, but I'm not going to be like, he should get penalised because he never got an advantage from it. So,
yeah.
Like, I'm not like, that's a joke that he's not been penalised because he didn't gain an advantage, so I don't really care enough. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I definitely think it was, but it doesn't really matter, so.
Yep. And obviously we've seen Ollie putting up a real good battle with Yuki. Like,
yeah.
I was.
I know, it was insane. Really, like, see, like, it was like the first laps and he was pure going for it. I was like, good on him. Like,
yeah.
Your first time in the car and you're just like,
he wasn't scared. He genuinely wasn't scared for the full race. He knew what he was there to do.
His dad was more scared.
Yeah. All you see was him just like jump. That's just like David Berman and he just sitting like that way while he died. So then Perez went up to P2, obviously in a Red Bull. He's a talented driver, so I wasn't shocked at that. I wasn't surprised that the Red Bulls would have a 1-2 at the end of the race. Lance Stroll crashed lap 6, I think it was. I just feel like, no, it's a tricky situation for Lance because his dad owns the team. I see so many people saying that if his dad did not own that team, he wouldn't have a seat. But I don't think he's a bad driver. Like, I'm not going to say that. But
sorry, I need to let my dog out, mother.
I'm not going to call him a bad driver because I know he's not a bad driver, but I just feel like some of the things that he does is like rookie errors, like completely. Like, I know you can't just blame stuff always on a driver because sometimes it is like gearbox, for example, like Pierre, like gearbox faults and everything, but it's just.
Well, on that conversation, there was Daniel Ricciardo spinning out by himself. Which takes you into the conversation. This is a tricky topic, really. But should Liam Lawson be in that seat?
Yes. It hurts me to say, but I do think Liam Lawson performed amazingly. Like, when he was in that seat. I don't think, I'd hate to see Daniel out of a seat. Like, that's the last thing that I want. But I do think Liam Lawson deserves some sort of seat on that grid. Whether, I know, I don't think he'd ever leave, like, the Red Bull Academy, like, program. But I kind of just wish he was in, like, a Williams or something. See, just so he was on the grid, like, this year. But it's, it's hard to choose between your favourite driver and this really talented driver, because it's no doubt that Daniel has talent, because I watched Drive to Survive, and it was when Christian said that the lap time that Daniel had just done, he'd be up in the grid to Max. So Daniel is a talented driver, but as is Liam, but I do think that Liam deserves a seat in this year's grid.
100%.
I hate talking about it, because I just want Daniel to have a seat, but he can only do so much to prove himself worthy of a Red Bull seat, because that's where he's working towards. He wants to get back into the Red Bull seat, but I want more talent to be on the grid as well.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, obviously, the safety car came. About 90% of the cars went into the pit.
I've noted down who didn't.
Yeah, right, okay, so...
Oh, hi, buddy, you back?
Right. Hamilton didn't.
Yep.
Norris didn't. Hi, buddy. So he's Hamilton like didn't, Norris didn't, and Joe didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't like see. But I knew there. See, I knew with Lance's crash was like there's going to be a safety car, a red flag. I was like, immediately I knew that. I didn't expect, like, because there was like, oh, like they're bringing in both Red Bulls, or they're bringing in both for that. I was like, whoa. I was like, I didn't expect to put all this just cars flowing into the grid. And then obviously, Checo got the unsafe release 5 seconds mm-hmm. and K-Mag is contact with Alex. I just remember screaming. I was like, stop. I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then there was also the incident with Ollie commenting on Hülkenberg. And he was like, oh my God, he's so slow. No, you need to drive that car. You need to drive that car.
That's going to be you, poor soul.
And then Ollie, of course, just his brilliant drive throughout the race entirely. And then it was a long, long, long battle with Hamilton and Piastri. Yes. Long battle. I just remember, like, I went to the bathroom and then I just came back and it was still going on. I was like, when is this going to end? I was like, can someone just overtake someone or just fall back? I was like, please just stop it. I was like, it's just getting so frustrating. But it was a long battle.
Yeah, it was good defending from Hamilton.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was on the older tyres as well, because he didn't pit. But it was a shame, because poor Oscar, like, he was getting past, and then he was just like, I don't even know what he was, I think he was like walking up or something, and it was just like,
oh.
He made a tweet about it after as well. It was like, oh, sat behind like the rear wing of a Mercedes.
I've seen that. And then there was K-Mag, another penalty, leaving the track mm-hmm. to get an advantage.
But then he ended up finishing quite high, you know.
Yeah. Where did he finish?
I feel like it was like P12, you know. He defended like a good amount of the grid so that Hülkenberg could
P12.
Yeah, actually he was doing really good teamwork.
I feel like with the Haasers, the connection there, like, oh, I'll let him pass or whatever, like, but we watched in Bahrain with Daniel and Yuki, like, that didn't go quite as planned either. But I'm really impressed, you know, Ollie's sitting 10th in the championship right now.
I know.
Sitting 10th in the championship.
That's my goal.
And then Charles on the podium, that's 2 Ferrari podiums in a row mm-hmm. with the strong Red Bulls, so that's really great. And he also had the fastest lap.
Yeah.
So
it was weird, so when you looked at Charles' lap times, they were getting quicker every lap, like they reversed, degraded, like the tyres, I'm not kidding, it was so weird. And then the last lap just came out of nowhere. He said he got a bit of DRS on somebody, but so with Max as well, like mm-hmm. they were all lapping the grid, so I don't know where that came from.
And then we've got Ollie P7 and Driver of the Day.
Phil is amazing.
He was my vote for Driver of the Day.
Completely. Yeah.
And not just because it was his first time driving, but just because his drive was absolutely great today.
Amazing.
Today. Yeah. Just because his drive, it was so, so good. And I feel like there is a lot more to Ollie Bearman that We still we see a lot more of him. This is only his first race. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're going to see a lot more of Ollie Bearman. I definitely think in the future he's got that potential to go quite far in Formula One. I don't want to see a world champion, because every time I call someone a world champion, it never seems to pan out. I said that Lando Norris is going to be a world champion, and we're still waiting on that first win. But how many Brits was there in the grid? Lando, George, Lewis, and Ollie. Four Brits in the grid. I feel like there's someone that I'm missing.
Does Alex race something? No, he races on the tie flag. Yeah.
What track are you most looking forward to this season? And I know you're going to Silverstone.
Well, I'd say Silverstone because I'm going to it. But if we're talking about like ones watching in the house, honestly, I think it'd be Vegas, because Vegas for me was the best race of the season last year.
Yeah.
It was the only time we saw a driver challenge the Red Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think without that late safety car, I'm pretty sure George hit Max slightly. Without that, I think that Leclerc was in for a real big chance of winning that race. Mm-hmm. And even just, not even just there being a battle for first, like all throughout the grid, there was a lot of battles and nobody expected that for Vegas. And it ended up really good.
I feel like it was the best of the season.
It was definitely the most interesting.
Because it's an American race, people are like, nah, I'm not going to watch it. I definitely do think it's one of the most entertaining races of the season. Because
it was the first time that you've seen somebody actually race the Red Bulls on track for the win. It was really good to watch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, although Lando crashed, but I really enjoyed the race. I like the battle between the cars, and I think Vegas showed that like completely. But I do love Singapore.
I love Singapore.
I'd love to go there. Tracks, Singapore, Monza, Kota. But I'm definitely looking forward to this season. I hope it is more of a battle. Obviously, there was the battles last year, but it's going to be boring to see Max Verstappen winning all the time again. So I really hope that
to the other teams to get closer to Red Bull, but it does seem like Ferrari are on the right track over the course of the next few years. It's not Red Bull's fault. Obviously, it's everybody else's. So.
Yeah. So I just don't think there's really anything more that we can cover. Obviously, with Australia in a couple of weeks, I'm assuming there'll be more drama.
Hopefully we'll be together for that podcast. The reason we're not is because we live an hour away. So
literally an hour away from each other. So hopefully you're coming over to my house. So that's the plan, and we'll film a podcast there. But thank you guys so much for listening to this and watching.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Hi guys, before this ends, I've got a quick correction. After we filmed the podcast, it's been reported that Daniel Ricciardo had a problem with his car, which led to him spinning out, which in the podcast we said that it happened on his own, but reportedly it didn't, so I thought to clear that up. Bye guys!